morning, I'm turning to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. And I will look from verse 24 to 30, then 36 to 43. And our subject is the parable of the tares. And the reference to Matthew chapter 13. Now, this parable was given by the Lord Jesus Christ. It is one of his popular parables in the scriptures, which many people know. And the purpose of this parable is to show us that false believers or false Christians will be exposed and punished at the day of judgment. And you know, many a time we think of judgment or punishment for those who are quote unquote not Christian and not believers, who don't have anything to do with God. Jesus Christ tells us that false believers will be exposed and punished on the day of judgment. And also, this warns us of the consequences of false Christianity. And So it tells us, it warns us that if we really desire to be Christian, then we should look out for that through Christianity, which God Himself has shown us in His Word. So that's a concern this morning. And you know that many people think that, well, nowadays Christianity is common, so, and as if God can be worshipped or known anyhow, people imagine and all that. You go to the streets, you meet someone, you ask them about salvation and how the things concerning the day of judgment, about sin. And most of the ideas is about, I think this and that and that and that. We ask somebody, how will God accept us to heaven? Well, by doing this, God said we should do His law, we should obey Him. And that's the common answers we find all the time. And others will tell you, well, when you talk about true spirituality, where it talks of holiness and having the indwelling of the Spirit, they will tell you, well, they can speak in tongues and they can, so they are Christians by that, you see. So there's so much of confusion, but God has not given us any confusion concerning His will for our lives and how we can know Him, and everything that He has given us is so clear in His Word. So it is a trouble, and it's a sad thing that many are confused, because each and every week when we go out, you meet many people with this. And so sometimes I said, so many people, if you look at the population in Ghana, if you show measure with the people we meet on the street, it is sad. Hardly will you find somebody who can really express that, well, the Lord, I have my faith in Lord Jesus Christ, and my hopes are in Him. He has changed my heart, and I love the Lord, and I'm always willing to live for Him. It is hard to find any. I don't think I've ever found anyone like that for all the years of our witnessing. It's sad. It's interesting, but you know. And yet, many of these people claim that they are Christians. The American said, "I will be brave." He said, "If I be brave, please only choose to fall." I'm a poor Muslim. Well, since you say you're a Muslim, say you call a bond thing for Kenya, Mr. Mwa. Emery, I mean, you be standing past there. If you are Temu Danua, then I'll be on your meaning. Then about boy friends or see you. And I said, "Maybe we be hungry and go for." Then about boy friends or see you. Maybe we be brave. Well, I'm yet to Indian Muslim, so. Maybe, oh, we should say, So what I'm saying is that the general idea about Christianity and how people think they are Christian is sad, because if people think that they are Christian by other things but not what Scripture teaches us, it's sad, because there are many, many people are not Christians and yet they claim to be so. Okay, so, and the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, if you read his teachings, he always warns those who follow him. And this parable was given to those who are following him. He didn't just say that, well, those who are following him, they are following him, so they are his people or they are believers. No, he warned them that you also have to come to me personally and believe on me and be my true disciple. So, we'll consider this parable, because this parable, as I said, he gave to one false Christianity. So it also wants us to also examine our Christianity. Okay, so the parable itself is from 20 verse 24 to 30, but this parable, he gave us the answer from 36 to 43. So it's easier to understand what Christ was teaching in this parable. I mean, we don't, unlike other parables, which we have to get other information to fill it up. But then, this is so clear. So I'll go through this parable, and when I'm going through, I'll just give some application, because we have the meaning already, but then how it really applies to us and how we should think about it. So verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man who sowed good seed in his field. So here there's a comparison that he's doing. He said the kingdom of heaven. But before we move on, let's understand this. Because there's much confusion about this. So the kingdom of heaven, people give several interpretations. And the kingdom of heaven simply means that the dominion of God in this world through the redemptive work of Christ. Sometimes it's called the kingdom of God in the Bible. Matthew normally use the kingdom of heaven, and other gospels also use the kingdom of God. It's not actually speaking about heaven as it is. It's speaking about God's dominion in this world through the redemptive work of Christ. And this dominion is different from God's government of this world. Alright, God is the God of this world. The whole world, the heaven and earth is his. But then within this, he's having a special kingdom which is given to Christ, and that is what he came on earth to achieve. Remember when he began his ministry, he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, repent. John the Baptist also came, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, repent. Announcing the coming of Christ, so that this dominion through Christ, Christ's redemptive work, God will bring many people to himself through that work, who out of the whole world will be his people. And some, throughout generations, since Christ came to the end of the world, this kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God we are talking about, is going to run. And God is going to save many to this kingdom. The air can say, Abebuni Echoye said, or the Sura Hindi, Abbas, I see, so they took a Kwenibia, Opo, Bia, Ibiaba, Papabi. Now, because they cast a straw in the end of the day, maybe no go for the brain or my brain, be actually said, but the chain is there. A Hindi, a fish fry, and coupon, a first AD, the Pebisu, we ask you, and now Christo, or Jim Obey, yes, or Bumma Bonnet, or Calvary, say, and I'm going to go by Jim Coffon, or Jomo, at the Bassa, a Hindi. And I used to also start in the Juma and I say, Monsaka might be in a coupon Hindi. John the Baptist, and so I introduce you, Jesus Christ, also can say, Musaka mwa bi nyango kwa hindi na ba. So ye kin ya hindi ya e jina e Kristo se ofa ni pesu e ba wiase so be ye odin ho be ye afodie e ma abone no mu sa e jumadie na disa hindi e ba. So de enim ni se wiase nyango kwa de odi wiase nyia so aso ni asase nyia hye na sna sa hindi e hye sa edisu enyi but I think the way ye fi sa ne mesmo que vias nia so dies ah yes special Emmanuel nam Christo so odeji ebimu e de aba ne nchen nti no na ye kaso when we is I mean here of the kingdom of heaven, that's how it should tell us. Finally, the kingdom of heaven will be brought into the kingdom of glory. It will be joined heaven at last when this world is destroyed. But then the kingdom of heaven tells us there's a particular dominion of God on earth that we should strive to get into. That's what it tells us. Okay. So the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God has to do with Christ and his church. Simply put. It has to do with Christ and his church. Because and it is for his church that he prayed the Father that he should keep in from evil in this world. It is this kingdom, Christ and his church, is the kingdom of heaven that we are talking about. Christ and his church. And he prayed that God should keep this kingdom, his church, from the evil of this world. So often the parables about the kingdom of heaven deals with these things. The invitation, that's the preaching of the gospel. Also, it's also some of the parables of the kingdom deals with how we can seek and find this kingdom. You know, remember the parable of the pearl, where the man has to sell everything to find this precious jewel, and also the lost coin where this one has to sweep and to seek it. How it is so precious to know to and the most important thing to find. When a woman in her house, she has to sweep the whole house, and when she found it, she said, "Come, I found my coin which was lost." So that is the picture of we being brought from the state of sin, we are lost, into unto God to be united to God. Whereby God, we are told that when a sinner, one sinner repents, the kingdom of the angels in heaven rejoices. Also, it has to do with the character of those in it and their preservation. Some of the parables deal with that. And also, the worth of the kingdom and its duration, which is eternal, it also tells us of it. And also, some of the parables tells us the progress of it in the person and also in the world. So some of the parables will tell us how the kingdom is begun in us. We are told that we are the temple of God. Those believers are the temple of God. God dwells in people, and it's by this work of Christ, and also how the church itself grows in the world, and also the blessings of it, which ushers into eternal glory, which we are told that eternal life, which all believers will have. So the church of Jesus Christ, those who are genuine, those who are born again, they have ultimate blessing. You'll finally, when this world passes over, they will live with God forever. So this is all about the kingdom of heaven. So this is what the parable is about, giving us an aspect of it. They can say, "Yangu kwa hindi, yangu kwa hindi na babu kano." Remember, brother, no abebu efa hano. Ebi chere mesima, yangu pon elton safre yense embrim. Ani efrense nsempa kano. Si ay orcha de bonye koso mu sakra omadwen na omu formu renche Kristo mu no munya bone fache. Mumba ni nchen. Ebi nso, ekshremesi ma, ebi jimi ashishwe saa ahindye na ye hunye diye huwa shim na ye nso, ya be evradenba. Ene che hawa, ebe ba Kristo nchen, no diye boni ya chen yen. Se eno yi asumi ya bosi, bibia o wiasi mu. Ene, parabo, ebe wufo, ebe bisa msi bisu chen yen, ni pesuwa e wo ahindye ni mu. Besi mu omu tiye, besi mu omu ye, unkonfuwa, omusu nyankopo, eni besi ma, omusu nyankopo, eni besi ma, yangu kwa mbua mwuhu bai. So jiyo mwa, bibia nti mi njini fini nsa. Odiyo, obe kwa mwuhu bai, kwa kimbra, ubiasi besi odiyo mwe kwa suwa hini. Ebe nsu chule mesi ma, asa hindi, ne mesi ma, esuma, mesi ma esu mbuo, eni mesi ma, eye, ebe tina hoda, enche mu, enko. Ebe nsu, ekshule mesi ma, asa hindi, etu mi shasi o nipana, nipamu, Mesmas nipa beji Kristo dia Kristo sum sha se woni mu na ewi ases mesmas Kristo sum akoso na sori ene kwa ene koso na insurance wo mu se dachi omo e wosa hindie mu no So these are the things about the kingdom of heaven. So here we are told the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man who sowed good seed in his field. So here he's picturing the true believer of the gospel. The true believer of the gospel. Here he compares this true believer to the good seed that was sown in a farm, which is an aspect of how God, Christ, bring about people to be really good in the sight of God. To God, naturally, we are not good in the sight of God. In the sight of men, we may be called good people, but in the eyes of God, we are no one is good because we all have our sins with us. So here is it is telling us of the true believer of the gospel. So, like he just cut off that part where the invitation was from, but it tells us that when the gospel is preached and the seed is sown, those who believe, there's a good that Christ worked in them. So here we have the seed, the good seed, which represent true believers of the gospel, those who believe the gospel. And then somebody will ask, well, let's refresh ourselves, what is the gospel? The gospel, the first thing we should know about the gospel is that we are sinners. We don't deserve anything. We only deserve punishment for our sins before God. And that all our life in this world, if God should measure it, is only lost to us. But then God in kindness, knowing that we can never make up and pay our sins, sent his son to come and die on the cross of Calvary to purchase for us. So that he took away the punishment that was on us and purchased for us our redemption. The price of our salvation on the cross of Calvary. So all who hear him and ask him to forgive them of their sins, he forgives. And he grants the presence of the Spirit to make them God's children. This is the gospel. This is the good news. Because if we know how sinful we are, this will be the greatest news ever to hear. That me, a sinner, can be reconciled to God, and God will have nothing against me. So that in all my life I will live in this world, at the end of the day, God will say, come to me, my child. Isn't it wonderful? It's the most amazing message to ever hear. That God is willing to make us, who are sinners, who are rebels against him, his children. Because even when, after he has even saved us, if he does not give us grace, how we still live in us. But his grace that supports us to be able to even desire to know him and obey him. So that is it. So that's the gospel. So when it is sown, so in verse 37 of our verse, we are told that he gave us the meaning of the good seed, the one who sowed the seed. So that he answered and said unto them, he is that sowed the good seed, he is the Son of Man. So he tells us the sow of the good seed, the Son of Man, which is Jesus Christ himself. In the Bible, Jesus Christ is called the Son of Man, the Son of God. So it's about Jesus Christ himself. And we are told in verse 38 that the field is the world. So what does it teach us? It tells us that wherever the gospel is preached, those who hear with seriousness, and whereby God's different, when you hear the gospel with seriousness, it will expose you that you are empty. You have nothing. You have no good in you. And when you see your poverty and righteousness, when these are exposed to you, and then you cry to the Lord Jesus Christ with your whole heart and with your whole mind to ask him to save you, like somebody who is sinking in a pit, in a mud pit, and he just needs somebody to rescue him. We are sinking in our sins. All our character is full of sin. None can deny that. All our characters. We are not even thinking of the sins of the mind, the things that we are not able to do, the thing we sin with our head, with our minds, and with our heart, and our sinful desires and our sinful thoughts. And when we talk about sins in our mouth, the words we speak, and many, many of that, you see. All these things, when we hear the gospel that Christ has died for sin, this comes to our mind and we realize that we have caused his death. And we realize that sin is a great thing. And so when we cry to the Lord, and then those who cry to him in sincerity, he knows our hearts. He knows which one of those who call him in sincerity. He knows those who ask him with their whole heart for a need of a savior. So when they do, he saves them. And then, as I said before, when he saves, meaning he forgives them and clears them from their sin before God so that they are now reconciled to God. Now God has nothing against them. Then he gives them power to become God's children. In John chapter 1 verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the children of God, even to them that believe in his name. So that is it. That is how it is. That's the gospel. So the whole field, the field is the world. It was Christ, Jesus Christ, who began to preach the gospel. And then the apostles did. And preachers who are true today are also preaching the gospel. So whatever the gospel is heard, and people are serious about it, people realize their sinfulness and cry to the Lord, he comes to save. So that this parable is not only for when Christ preached, it is going on to the end of the world. Wherever the gospel is preached, Christ is preached, he sowed this seed in the hearts of men. He brings this gospel to bring life to people. The Ekan said, in St. Paul, verse 37, he said, Nia Odria Diabapano, eh? Nipa ba no. Some can Christians and Panoa, but when it says, Obibiara, Sansen, Pay Banas or Onyan, who said, My own yet I see Rade. Now, Christo won't know where they want to know who ye. Now, Obejania, Tuan, or Connie, and say, Rade, Jimmy. Now, Jimmy, if you may want him. Babble chance, so come on the Premoa, who's any Panamobo. Now, or Geno, Finny Bonimore, or Yanko Bay, a Babo, or Sansom money to me, Mobay, Yanko Pomba. Now, Mr. John chapter 1, verse 12, which I said, now, don't know I didn't do it, or my own two Mr. Ombaya and Yakupomba. Ombaya didn't do it. So that is how the gospel is about. So the whole world is a field. And until the end of the world, the gospel we preached. And whoever is serious and comes to that, God saves. So the power that Christ gives us is the indwelling of the Spirit. And it is sad these days how the charismatic movement is made. It's really causing people to be confused about the indwelling of the Spirit. I mean, they dwell on many things which is not, I mean, according to Scripture. They will pick something from Scripture, and then they will, in the practice of the Spirit, then so many foolish things have been done, quote-unquote, in the name of the Spirit. No! What we should know is that when the Spirit comes to indwell in us, it will make us to desire the things God desires. That's the most important thing. Does God hate sin? Yes! The one who has the Spirit, his major thing is to hasten. Let's forget about the gift of the Spirit. We are not going to heaven by the gift of the Spirit. We are going to heaven by the fruit that the Spirit works in us. We are not going to, I mean, a preacher or any other person is not going to heaven because he's a preacher. He's going to heaven because God saves him. And he gave the Spirit to him. And he also produced fruit, like any other Christian. So you see, it is that. And that's one of the work of Satan in our time. Well, when the work of the Spirit is blurred, then nobody knows how to, I mean, even to check, examine if I have the real spiritual life. You see, that's how the devil does his thing. But then, the people who will come to God in sincerity and who desire to know him, he will show his ways to them. And then, because when people have their Spirit, then they come into this kingdom. Do you remember what Jesus Christ told Nicodemus? Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. So this new birth is the indwelling of the Spirit. And now this indwelling of the Spirit is being bled by charismatic so-called experiences, which some are so foolish. You see, but what we should know if we are indwellers of the Spirit, we will desire what God desires according to the Scripture. Because people think to desire things God desires, not according to the Scripture. They think, well, I have a nice experience that God spoke to me. No, and many of the things they will say, you cannot even ground it in any doctrine of Scripture. God will never do anything against himself. God will never say something and act contrary to that. That's what people should know. If ever God spoke to anyone, then it should be according to what he has given us. Do you remember the Old Testament prophets? They never spoke anything but what Moses has said. All for them to know those who are true prophets, they judge them by the law of Moses, what they have said before. But today there are so many so-called prophets, everybody is speaking from their stomach and nobody cares. But if somebody is a prophet, but he should speak according to Scripture. That's a prophet. That is all. So that's all we have. So they are blurring the work of the Spirit. And when they blur the work of the Spirit, confusion. People will claim to know Christ and never. Because when I know Christ, I should have the Spirit. And it should work in me to conform my nature to that of Christ. That's why he could tell his disciples, ye are the light of the world. Because they have had light from him. They have had spiritual life from him. They have had truth from him. And they really have understanding about God from him. That is how God's people are. So that's how it is. When the gospel is preached, and then people are brought in to the gospel. Verse 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. So before we even go with the tares, the wheat here is the same as the good seed. And so that the true believers in Christ, or the children of God, as we are told in verse 38, that the field is the world, the good seed, are the children of the kingdom, which are the children of God. And also the tares, the false, represent the false believers from the same verse, is the children of the wicked one, verse 38 tells us. And his enemy is the devil, verse 39. So the parable was interpreted for us. So it tells us that the devil also propagated the tares. Where the gospel was preached, and where people will come and trust in the Savior, the devil also preached his lies there. And we'll see some of the lies as we go on. So it tells us, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. The American said, Babu no chen said, embrace them, Bania can, you know, Papa no yibia, you know. Babu no chen said, embrace the Pada, you know, so, or town for no Babel, Bedria. That's what it means. He came to sow his lies there. And the lies and the truth will all germinate in those who heard the gospel. So you see, one man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. He knows that to bear fruit. He knows that, man, our heart is prone to evil and we are easily tempted. So he sowed them went his way. He knows that he'll get some people. So the false grain was sown by the enemy. And how did he do it? Secretly. In the night. Then also, sin and falsehood thrive where there's darkness. That's why it's called, he's in darkness. Wickedness and everything is done in darkness, even physically. There are people who, but most of the sins are, wicked things are done in the secret. Corruption is done in secret, bribery is done in secret, and every sin is done in secret. Adultery, everything is, nobody will come to the street and say, I'm an adulterer. No, everything is done in secret. So the enemy came and saw this among the pigs. It was in the same field where the good seed was propagated. There also the false seed secretly was sowed by the enemy. So he too was a sower. You see how Satan does. Whatever God does that will do us good, he will counter it with the fake. And he will get people to follow him. How does it? You know that wherever the gospel is preached, Satan will often spread false hopes of salvation. Wherever the gospel is preached, where people will come to realize true hopes of salvation, Satan will always sow false hopes of salvation. ọbọnsam tu dua eni da soa eye kunu efa nfa jie ho eni da soa enye ne kure e ma ebi mu so ye den eso sana efa che wa. How does he do that? He deceives people to feel that they are converted. Sometimes, if they are able to explain the gospel they've heard, the only kind of ordinary ni pan say, or that they be more moves. Oh, some things I'm finding between me and some things I change more. And the same who is Christ. That's the common thing nowadays. You know Christ? Oh yes, he came to die for our sins. Have you believed in him? Yes, yes, I've believed in him. Finish. Why did Christ do? Yes, Christ do. I don't know why one. Why did he? Imagine ready. When you go, what should you tell the person again? It's a false hope of salvation. Just saying that, yes, I believe in him, and that's no. As we go, we see what it is when we are saved. Another also is that if people are able to reform some habits and do some good things instead of seeking a complete change of heart. I did about those who are said. If you move in Sampano, I can't achieve any more money home. If you move in Sampano, well, and your senses are in Bravo. And to me, yes, I'm not even nothing. This time, and you saw only people so. I brought why I find a crowd, me rinse, I mean, rinse, I mean, because I mean, because I've read you. Name of Nakuma, I tell you, Muno, yes, this time, okay, or a Christian. He, I mean, they want people to reform their habits. Well, I was once a drunk about the, but the gospel always speaks about sin. So, well, whoever hears the gospel will be somehow have some conviction about it. Except that he's somebody who have really seared his mind with a hot iron, as the Bible tells us. This will be our dinner. I've been on that day and one she's here, and or see and born in Kanyam family. But then, if we are people who want to hear, it's to speak about sin. And no sensible person will not make do something about the wrong that he does when he's told of. Any sensible person will do that. So, some reformation of habits and trying to do some good things instead of seeking a whole change of heart. Because the gospel must come to us to change our hearts. When we hear and God saves us, this heart is the where is the heart, our mind and our heart, these things in us, where our desires are, where our thoughts are, where our intentions arises, these places must be changed. That's not the purpose of the gospel. Until these things are changed, these parts of us are changed, we can never know God or love Him. We'll be deceived all the time. So, when the gospel comes to us, these things have to be changed. Yes, it's true, we have to stop the things that we do, but then there should be a deep work done in us, so that not that we stop something, but we would really hate everything that God hates. So, people, Satan try to confuse people and deceive people that, well, now you are not able to do the bad things you do. You don't, you're a good person. You are saved. But that is not us. That's not what our salvation is about. Another people, if they sometimes read the Bible and pray, you say, well, I've gone to church. They say reading the Bible is good, praying is good. I begin to do, when I wake up, sometimes, what else should we ask people? How many times do you read the Bible? He's a Christian. And my son, now, to me, kind of Bible, no? Then they will say, oh, woman, my kind, oh, we're born by it. But that is not it. That's not just, oh, woman, my kind. And we'll tell them, how do they feel if they wake up and they've not eaten food? They say, oh, then, or drank any water. They say, yes. The soul, if it is really converted and changed, it should test after the word. It should test after prayer. A Christian cannot live a day without genuine, sincere prayer. When you have not prayed, you are so confused of life. You are so overwhelmed and you are easily tempted to sin. The power of the Christian's prayer. So if you say you're a Christian, sometimes you pray, sometimes you don't pray, you're not a Christian. Or the word of God, well, sometimes you don't read. You are not a Christian. Because the new life in you tests after these things. The new life in you tests. So the devil may deceive you. Well, so long as you can pray and read the Bible, you are okay. No! This is the sowing of the test among people where the gospel is. So when people embrace these lies, they throw away their mind to true conversion. Okay, he also deceives people. So when people can read and pray, then they are okay. Instead of them surrendering their whole lives to Christ, giving their hope so that he really dictates for them, not that they dictate for their life. No, they dictate for themselves and think that they are saved. No, it's never possible. Others also, he deceives to base their salvation on a dream or a hallucination. I'm sure you have heard stories Many people, well, they normally speak about Apostle Paul having a dream, God speaking to him, then change that. But no, these are just one of few instances in the Bible. The general way of salvation, or to know that I'm saved, is in the Bible. You see, it's in the Bible. Some people say, well, God spoke to me in a dream. God spoke to me through an angel and all that. No. When God wanted the gospel to be preached, he did not give the gospel to angels. He gave it to men. When Christ came, he did not give visions for people to be saved. No. He preached the gospel. And people believed and they were converted. I'm sure some of us have witnessed people with psychological problems claiming that they heard Jesus Christ speaking to them. I'm sure we often heard of this. Well, Jesus Christ spoke to them. And so that is how they came to know God. It's never true, but these are lies of Satan. Well, God spoke to me, and somebody said he went to hell, and then all that he saw, when he came back, before he was living a life of sin, God took him to the hell or heaven, and he saw, he'll be mentioning some of the popular people, this pastor, I saw him in hell, and they'll be, so that he's also, he said, no! When God wanted, do you remember what Abraham told the rich man, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus? He said that the rich man said, oh, send Lazarus to go and preach to my brothers. Abraham told him, no. If they will not hear Moses and the prophets, if even somebody comes from the dead and preach to them, they will never hear. God doesn't preach the gospel to us from the dead. He preached the gospel to us when we hear. If we will be saved, we will be saved by hearing the gospel we preach. If we will not be saved, let angels come from heaven. We will never be saved. But the devil deceives people to base their salvation on this kind of false hopes. And then, when people claim these things, they feel so special. Well, I receive it in a dream. So that whatever you tell the person that this is what about, oh no, I receive it in a dream. God spoke to me about it. And they are so confident in that than the written word of God. You see, false hope of salvation. It's total nonsense. And I've heard this, some of these popular preachers say, well, I was in this field working and then God spoke to me, so then I saw I became a preacher. No, God doesn't call us in that way. The Bible has told us how God calls us. How God calls a sinner. It's clear in the Bible. We repent of sin, we trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the Spirit. And whatever He wants us to be, as we go on, the Lord Himself leads us. So, these are the four sources of salvation. And as I said before, these days, the common thing, people think when they speak in tongues, then they are converted. I think I said last week or so, some of the children that come to Sunday school, their teachers told them to learn how to speak in tongues. And when they're able to, then they have the Spirit. That's how they have the Spirit. It's never true. So, to be cut tongues, it's a correct. So why people are putting their hopes on these false grounds, which is being sown by Satan, they have no sincere love for Christ. They have no sincere love for Christ. They are not willing to surrender all their life to Him. So He regulates their life by His own teachings. They have no genuine hatred for sin. They have no genuine change of heart. But then, this is what the seed that the devil sowed. That's another test. When a tree, you say, I think I have it here. The tree says, I want you to use the right, you say that. Irabone, aha, very good. You see, the wheat was a good irapapano, but a test, irabone, a manipa, a yen, the swan, quite a yen, correct. We'll come to that. So that's how Satan does his things. And so let's continue. Verse 26. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So you see, they all come with their fruit. So the tares were unnoticed till it showed signs of burden. Well, we are all in the Christ. We have all believed in Christ. But the Bible tells us we shall know who is having the right claims. We shall know those who have the right claims. And you know how the Bible tells us. How do we know that people have their people's faith in Christ is genuine or not genuine? I've said it before, but I'll tell you the ambitions of such people. What are they looking to be? What are they looking to achieve in this life? And what are the things that they want to pursue? Their choice of entertainment. What are the things that really make them happy in this world? What are the when they come to entertainment? What kind of entertainment they are happy with? Their friendships. How are their friendships like? And their attitude toward possession of the things of this world. These are the things. These are the signs that will help us. The burden of the fruit. These are the signs. So, in the life of a person, we check this thing. You use it to check your own life. If you say you are saved, use this thing to check your life. What are my ambitions? Who are those that are my friends? What are the things that I like to entertain myself with? Am I entertaining myself with the foolish thing of the foolish music and the nowadays I always speak again the TikTok and there's so many foolishness there and so many nonsense there and people just and it's just sad that some of our mothers who are uneducated they have made their children to connect to show them they just watch the videos and the children I my little daughter their school some of the children when the things they're able to say and learn. It's from all this TikTok. It's so sad that at that age, the children can learn that. From the habits. They learn from this side. And people just enjoy them. And even people who claim to be Christians. No! What are my enjoyments? What are the things that I like? It's one of the things that determine if I am really converted. If I'm a Christian. If I am my faith in Christ was genuine. If it wasn't, I mean, Satan who deceived me that I'm saved. These are the things. And these are not, I mean, we cannot train anybody to about it. We just, it's natural. How dogs will naturally eat meat, that also. And goats will not eat meat. That is how it is. Put a whole bunch of meat before a goat, he will despise the way he eats grass. That is how it is. Salet here said, Yesu, I then a decision, young one. And your mind, you didn't need to so near, say, DHA. And this time, your mind, a man, you're done for film. You see, when you look at God, just write his prayer in John chapter 17. He said, keep them from the world, from the evil of the world. And as I'm a Christian, and I don't know how to keep myself from the evils of the world. No, Christ will teach me. My things have to change, you know. And it is sad that now the gospel who preach, well, God will save you. God loves you in your sin. It's a lie. And found to the way we would jump for and sacral. So, one time, the apostle share, Wadam for which are for party. And you see some of the pastors even go to the clubs, they are going to preach to people there. It's nonsense. There's a separation. Christ had told us that he prayed for his people in this world that they are not in the world, but they are not of the world. So, how can I be saved? And then I live my life like the world, and I say, well, I'm a Christian. No, I deceive myself. He's using the Bible to tell us. Then to tell me my hopes were sown by Satan. The test, I will be the test. You see, we should be careful. And because we all want to get to heaven. That's why we all want to hear about Christ. So this should help us to really straighten up how our Christianity is. Because whoever will miss this is eternity. It's like driving toward an end of a road where there's a big hole there. And you are one, and well, you have a long, your car runs very well, so you have close your eyes, yes, and move on. What will happen to you? When you get to the end of the road, you die. That is how it is. These are matters of life and death. And yet, somewhere far and funny, just to mean some location. Verse 27. So the servants of the household that came and said unto him, said, did not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then this heart is heart it is? See, I'm up for a full run. No, 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 no. So they were surprised about the test which they found among the wheat. They knew that the sower sold a ripe grain, which was the wheat. And this scripture to us, the surprise that we see that when a believer sees someone who claims to be a Christian, and he's so confident about himself, and yet, when you compare the scripture, there's nothing to show that he's a Christian. Listen, every genuine Christian will be surprised about that, and will try to help that such a person. That's this just picture to us, those who are of Christ, when they see others who are not of Christ and claim to be, they are surprised. Like if you have a farm, or let's say you are running maybe pigs, and all of a sudden maybe a cat gets inside their pen, then you see that they are all standing back and watching, because they know that yes for pigs, we are worrying our mouth, but for cats, you know, cats don't like mouth. What the cat doing here? That's the picture. So when people who are surprised see that people who claim to be Christians are not, they are surprised. Oh, we know the gospel do not produce false Christianity. But what about this? They also heard the gospel. Why this? So that is it. Omo ye Christofo nu se bi mo so me Christofo nye Christofo a. Na ye omo wa bi so mo se Jesus Christo ni se mpa no de. En ji ni pa nkwa, ama ni pa en be ye se obi o wi asim. So that's the surprise. Verse 28 and 9. He said unto them, this is the answer of the sower to them. An enemy had done this. The servant said unto him, would thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the stairs, ye root up also the wheat with them. So here, he told them, the sower knows who have done it. You see, this tells us, fractions, the thing we don't see, he knows. He knows those who have given their minds the gospel. And he knows those who are giving their minds the lies of Satan. You know, the servant didn't know. We don't know. When the gospel goes out, we don't know who has believed. All may claim to believe, but only Jesus Christ. Only God knows those who have believed. So he tells them that they should hold on. They even asked Gwen, really separate the bad from the good. Well, this also tells us that if people claim to believe the gospel and they are irreverent and they live worldly, it does not discredit the gospel at all, because the Lord Jesus Christ knows those who have been saved. But it's us that sometimes we think, oh, why they blaspheme the name of God? Why is too much of falsehood? But God knows those that are His. He's not moved by people claiming to be saved and they are not saved. His consent, His purpose will be achieved. It doesn't matter how people turn out to be false if they claim to be. So the servant said unto him, would thou then that we go and gather them up to the wish permission to approve them? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. God, the Lord knows how easier it is for us to confuse the good and the bad. Because, you know, sometimes some of the mistakes of God's people are almost like the mistakes of those who are never Christians. So sometimes we misjudge people. But then, it does also tell us that some people are false, we should know them. So, what he tells them is not that we should not judge, we should not rebuke people when they are wrong. He's still telling us that. Well, we may be confused about, sometimes we may be confused about the two, but God himself knows those who are right. It doesn't matter how maybe somebody we thought he was a Christian, who turned out to be false, and we are surprised. Well, we wish they are not part of us. No. We should not be surprised at all, for the Lord knows them that are His. So that they should hold on. They shouldn't. They shouldn't. Because, as I said, believers are jealous of the Lord's honor. So whenever there's kind of falsehood and people trying to overturn the truth, they are worried. But no, He said, no, wait. Verse 10 said, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together, fetch the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So he tells them that the difference, I will make the difference to show at the day of judgment. The day, I mean, it will come when the harvest is coming. The harvest time is what? The time of judgment. Verse 40. So at this point, the parable is, but the verse 40 gives us more about this. Let them grow together, the harvest, time they will be separated. And where they say that the tares will be gathered and bent, and the wheat will be gathered into the barn. Verse 40 to 42 give us explanation. As therefore the tares are gathered and bent in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, that is sinners, and or that is false believers, and then we do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So the vengeance of the Lord against sinners, all sinners, is at the end of the world. And he tells us that among these sinners at the day of judgment will also be found false Christians. Sometimes we think of sinners who are great, I mean, atheists, who speak against Christ and God. But no, false Christianity will be also be cast among the sinners. And who are these false Christians? Maybe people who may have attended church most of their lifetime. They may be people who may have served the church as pastors, as teachers, preachers, or members of a church. But they will be among the false because, why? Because by their Christianity, they show that they had new birth. They had no new birth. They were not those who were converted. All the fruit that came out of their claiming of faith was never true. Whether a pastor, whoever, pastor can learn the teachings of Scripture and preach very well, but then doesn't mean that he's converted except he show forth the fruits. He show forth that he's submitting to Christ in his own life and also in the ministry that he does. You see? So, my time is already gone, but my question to you is that, do you know that false Christianity is sin? When he says, also a Christian, it's sin. That's what Christ is telling us. If it's not sin, why were they cast out? To claim to be a Christian and you are not true, it's sin. It's one of the great sins because it's like claiming to be a child of some famous person, and you go to the village side and you are bullying people here and there, and when you are arrested, it's not a sin. See, it's like you are destroying his reputation by your character. And when you are caught, what to be done? That people will say, well, they are suing people for defamation and all that. That's how it is. Claiming to be a child of God, and you live not as a child of God, you live for yourself. No, God said he will deal with us if you are like that. So when people claim to be saved but are false, that is a great issue. But Scripture teaches us that if we are saved, by the power of the Spirit, we'll have dominion over sin, we'll have the grace to hate every sinful way, and we'll desire that our intentions and our preferences will always please God. It's simple as that. Send me a Christian here. Menya to me, Christian born me to me, it will be born so I've been here, I've been here. That sounds why you'll be here. I didn't say Bonibiano, Minya Konoma, Midibiano, and both say a Somisha, which tries to make point here. And now, my dream, and then your mom, permissions to any idea, and possess so irradiating. These are the things to check if I'm a Christian. And it will, if it's true, this will be consistent. Some people are not Christian, but they seem to have. But then if it's true, it will be consistent. You grow in that. And the more you grow in this world, the more you become more separated from the things that are sinful to God. So, in a short thing, this parable is warning us that false Christianity is sin. Because what? By false Christianity, we show that we are empty of holiness, we are careless to separate from sin, if we false teachings and worldly fashion, we don't care whatever is truth and all that. But then the Lord by this tells us that our Christianity will be judged. So my question to you is that what will yours be when you are judged by your Christianity? What the Bible says is a Christian. Will yours be just a show of Christianity or a show of a true spiritual life? Which one are you? Would the area need to show Christosumo and answer? A Christosumo, a war, and a year, a war, South Hong Kong, and Kwano, a person, a son of Muniana. Okay. The Bible also tells us that it is only the Lord Jesus Christ who is able to sow the good seed. But parable will not try and say, Jesus Christ opened it to me, dear sir, Abapay, Emma, or Muebeye, Papa. He only can make you genuine good if you have not come to him. You can still repent of your sin, come to him, and ask him to save you. If you can get your Christianity, well, I have been religious all this while, but I can check with my Christianity. I don't love God much. I don't hate sin much. I seem to live for myself much. When it comes to decisions of life, I think of my comfort and the ways that I can please God and really commit myself to Him much. When it comes to service to Christ, well, I do it when it's convenient for me. I should revise myself and ask God, well, God grant me that I can really become one of your good people. And it is only Christ that can make us that. So we go to Him. Whatever deformity we have in our spiritual life, we go to Him. He's able to fix that for us. Nobody can. You and I cannot, you cannot. Only Christ can. Whatever deformity we have in spiritual life, He can. So if you have not thrown back Christ in chain or sacrifice upon in chain, or open the back Christ somewhere, or bet to me, Amma, Yehuma Isima, Yen Christ of Sumai Papa. Yeah, the rest in the moon came upon each channel. Yes, I cry again. Near Strenus on GM, come back GM, no pen, the Babuan chance, or no more GB upon. Only bet to me, my papa. Only bet to me, Amma, bra bonia, a straight right journey. So to say, Akuma, no, you don't get here. Just according to chain, the sermon won the fashion. Why? Because He died on the cross of Calvary to pay for sin. On open the war of Calvary, nobody has died for sin. He did, and God accepted it. Salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And true hope of salvation is in Him alone. Adding anything, we lose our way. And He only can make us good and fit us for heaven. On open the to me, my papa, may to me, I hear before heaven by which me so akobi. So you can tell Him. If you are willing for Him to change you, that's what He's telling us. Let us go to Him if we have not gone to Him before and ask Him. He's willing to save us. Let's